Proudly to present Shooting Lights Out. And this new episode of Shooting Lights Out is sponsored by Fanatics. So fishing lights is everything with Fanatics.com. Get special deals and great discounts with Fanatics.com with Sports Fan Shop. Also, Shooting Lights Out is brought to you by Locker Rooms by Liz. Custom hats, official hats, t-shirts, and so much more with Locker Rooms by Liz. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a live edition of Shooting Lights Out.
sound like some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? That's the only way to go, gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shooting Lights Out.
Ladies and gentlemen, as I get on camera here, welcome to Shooting Lights Out Live, Tuesday, January 20th, 2023, with your boy, the Playmaker Donna. So I was out here in, now it's sunny Jacksonville, Florida. Early it was a rain, like it was a thunderstorm coming. Now I can see the sun out, you know, see the sun coming through the room and whatnot. But hey, thank you for tuning in today. As you see, the title does say second quarter of the WNBA season begins, but you saw that I played the men's Shooting Lights Out intro because that's what I'm going to begin at. I'm talking NBA and WNBA in today's episode because the Around the Hardwood session is the NBA. And to begin Around the Hardwood, let's look at it. Beginning with sources, Michael Jordan agrees to sell Hornets stakes for $3 billion. Michael Jordan was the majority owner of the Charlotte Hornets for over a decade, I believe. It probably been 13 years, I believe. And, you know, he tried to do some good things for the organization. Just didn't work out. Charlotte just one of them teams that you don't care about, or as an NBA fan goes. It's not one of the teams that you have high on your list, mostly at the bottom of your list when it comes to a team that you look forward to seeing. You know, he had the good old days when you had Okafor and Kemba Walker in them days in the mid-2000s. But outside of that, Charlotte hasn't been really much to look at. You had your couple of years ago when LaMelo Ball and crew was making play-ins, but not playoffs. So it hasn't been working out for Michael Jordan and Charlotte. So he has minority owner. He's still part owner of the Charlotte Hornets. He does no longer being the majority owner. He's giving that to somebody else. So that took place 4 days ago, so that is what it is on that one. And hey, who knows? Maybe going in a new direction, maybe what the organization needs for them to try to do some good things in the city of Charlotte. All right. Moving on. Grizz, John Morant suspended for 25 games by the NBA. Okay. We was waiting for the punishment to be handed down from Al Silver because he did not want to do it during the NBA Finals. He was trying to be cognizant of not creating headlines outside of the NBA Finals between the Denver Nuggets and the Miami Heat. But season is over. Denver won the championship. Congratulations to the Denver Nuggets. Now the suspension has been handed down. The punishment has been handed down to Ja Morant, which is 25 games, and there's a lot of factors in this one, just so to speak. But before I get to the factors, as you can see here on the left is the NBA's communications law for what happened. And it says here, June 16, 2023, NBA announced today that Memphis Grizzlies guard Ja Morant has been suspended for 25 games without pay for contract detrimental to the league. Morant posed a firearm in a car during a live stream video on May 13, less than 2 months after he was suspended 8 games without pay for a live streaming of a video on March 4th, in which he displayed a firearm while in an intoxicated state at a Denver area nightclub. They go on to say Morant's suspension begins immediately and will remain in effect through the first 25 games of the 2023-2024 NBA regular season, for which he is otherwise eligible and able to play. He will also be required to meet certain conditions before he's returned to play and will be ineligible to participate in any public league or team activity, including preseason games, during the course of his suspension. He can't be around the team. He can't be in the link. He can't be in the arena. Can't do nothing. But the NBA goes on to say, Ja Morant's decision to once again wield a firearm on social media is an alarming and disgusting, given his similar conduct in March, for which he has already suspended 8 games. NBA Adam Silver says, he continued on to say, the potential of other young players to emulate Ja's conduct is partly concerning. Under these circumstances, we believe a suspension of 25 games is appropriate and makes clear that engaging in reckless and irresponsible behavior with guns would not be tolerated. For Ja, basketball needs to take a backseat at this time. Prior to his return to play, he will be required to formulate and fulfill a program with the league that directly addresses the circumstances that led him to repeat this destructive behavior. That's the word from the NBA and Adam Silver. On the right side is what Ja Morant says in his statement. Those of you can see it on YouTube. Those of you who are listening to the audio version, here it says. It says, quote, I have had time to reflect and realize how much hurt I've caused. I want to apologize to the NBA, to the Grizzlies, my teammates, the city of Memphis, to Alexander Zach Kling and Robert Perr, who gave me the opportunity to be a professional athlete and have supported me. I am sorry for the harm I have done. To the kids who look up to me, I am sorry for failing you as a role model. I promise I'm going to be better. To all my sponsors, I'm going to be better, a better representation of our brands. To all my fans, I'm going to make it up to you, I promise. I'm spending this offseason and my suspension continue to work on my mental health and decision making. I am also going to be training so that I am ready to go when I can come back on the court. I know my teammates are going to hold it down, and I am so sorry I won't be out there with you at the beginning of the season. I hope you'll give me the chance to prove to you over time I am a better man than what I have been showing you. That is from the point guard, Ja Morant himself. I could go ahead and go off, which I did back then when you got suspended, when you did it the second time. But I ain't going to do it. Because not only the suspension, see, what most, and I mean, when the suspension headed down, you had some people say, oh, they doing too hard on him, or something is not even enough. Y'all do realize that he can't make all NBA next season. You have to play a certain amount of games to make all NBA. And when you make all NBA, you're eligible for a max contract. This suspension for making a bad decision once again, now it has cost Ja Morant at least $40 million. That's because he can't make all NBA. Simply because he can't make all NBA. And all NBA returns into mess contracts. You want to know why Boston Celtics have a dilemma with on their hands? Because both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown both made all NBA teams, and they both have mess contracts they can get. Next year, Ja Morant won't be up for a mess contract. You losing at least $40 million, and you suspended without pay, which is adding even more to the $40 million that you're losing already. So I hope from this time in 25 games, so we're talking probably in November when he's coming back. The season begins in what, October? Actually, no. No, we talking around about December, maybe Christmas time when John Morant might be coming back. Because the season starts in mid-October. 25 games, that's probably a month time, month and a half. So, yeah, we're looking around Christmas time for John Morant to come back to play for the Memphis Grizzlies. Dude, that's a... You already missed one-fourth of the season as it is. So that already hurts. Money-wise, it hurts. We're going to see what your endorsement deals are if your sponsors still want to sponsor you or not. We're going to see how that goes. But, Ja, you got to be better. Whatever you got to do, do it so you can be better and show everybody that you're better. If you have to change the circle that you're with, change the circle that you're with. Everybody's not meant to join you in your journey. Everybody has a time and place in your life. Everybody can't roll with you to the promised land. Some people got to get off before the promised land. Some people got to get off before you hit the stardom. Before you hit that mega deal, some people got to go. That's the way life is. You cannot continue to hang around the same people if this is the same people that get you in trouble. Now, it's not their fault because you're a grown man. You make your own decisions. But everybody can't join the ride, y'all. Because everybody just can't join the ride. You love them. They was there for you when you're down. But everybody cannot be on the journey to the promised land. It's just the way life is, man. So do what you got to do, man. Get right. Get back on the court. You are the face. You're not just a face of an organization. You're not just a face of the NBA. You are the face of the entire Memphis city. Okay? When they see Ja Morant, they just don't see NBA. They just don't see the Grizzlies. They see the city of Memphis when it comes to you, Ja Morant. You're the face of that entire city. There's no NFL team that plays in Memphis. The college team, the university is not that big enough to be in the limelight like that. Memphis has a great program, football and basketball. Penny Hardaway coaches the basketball team. But they're not big enough like that. You're not going to see Memphis in the bright lights with the Kentucky or North Carolina, UCLA or Duke in basketball and football, or Alabama or Ohio State or USC or Georgia. Memphis is not in that light in college. It's the Grizzlies. And you're the face of that organization, which makes you the face of that city. So do what you got to do, man. Get back on the court because you are a spectacular basketball player on the court. Do what you got to do, man. Do what you got to do. Moving on. Lou Williams, 3-time Sixth Man of the Year, retires from the NBA. Lou Williams, the most productive bench player in NBA history, is hanging it up. Lou Williams is one of them guys that I enjoy watching. That man was a bucket. Let's not kid ourselves, okay? That man was a bucket when he stepped on the court. And more so coming off the bench. Okay? Narka says, Lou Williams, who had made his mark in the NBA coming off the bench over the course of a 17-year career, announced retirement Sunday. Williams revealed the decision in a YouTube video narrated by his daughter that covered his journey to the NBA and time in the league. The 36-year-old Williams won 3 Sixth Man of the Year awards in 2015, 2018, and 2019, tied with Jamal Crawford for the most in NBA history. Ryan appearing in 1,123 games, with only 122 starts, he set an NBA record with 13,396 points off the bench, which is 2,117 more than Jamal Crawford. Lou Williams averaged 13.9 points per game, along with 3.4 assists per game, while he played for the following teams, the Philadelphia 76ers, the Atlanta Hawks, the Toronto Raptors, the Los Angeles Lakers, the Houston Rockets, and the Los Angeles Clippers. Thus, his final game came in game 6 of the first round of the Eastern Conference playoff when the Boston Celtics took out the Atlanta Hawks in 6 games. That was his final game. That was back in April. Lou Williams was the 45th overall pick in the 2005 draft. Out of the 60 players taken that year, only Chris Paul has scored more points in that draft than Lou Williams. Lou Williams finished his career with 15,593 points, 131st in the NBA history. Congratulations, Lou Williams, on a career. Congratulations on being one of the most productive bench players that the NBA has ever seen. And we wish you nothing but the best in your future endeavors. Now we get to the main topic of the NBA offseason thus far. The Suns finalizing trade for Wizards Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal was in a trade to the Phoenix Suns, as the Phoenix Suns would be, as the Phoenix Suns sitting Hall of Famer Chris, future Hall of Famer Chris Paul, a boatload of second round picks, and I do believe that was supposed to be, and a Landry Shamet to the Washington Wizards for just simply Bradley Beal. Now, first and foremost, you see that guy on that screen right there, those of you who are watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. That is Kendrick Perkins. And what they put right there, it says Perk. Suns are best team in basketball at the Beal trade. First of all, what makes them the best team in basketball? Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal. You got 3 scorers, 3 shooters. Okay. You just let go of your point guard and Chris Paul. Is Cameron Payne going to be your starting point guard now? Who's going to be the point guard? Okay. You let go Landry Shamet, who came off your bench after you had to let go Dorian Finney-Smith, Mikal Bridges, and Cam Johnson to send to Brooklyn, which depleted your bench, which is the problem. You got ran out in the city by the Denver Nuggets to begin with. You don't have a bench, and you just lessen the bench, even though you have a buttload of second-round picks. So, first of all, you don't have no floor general, and secondly, you have no defense, and thirdly, you have no bench. What makes the Phoenix Suns better than the Denver Nuggets, Kendrick Perkins? Because I do recall the Denver Nuggets just won the NBA championship. I do recall ain't none of their starters or key players are at the age of 30. Matter of fact, Nikola Jokic is the closest one, and he's at 28. What makes Phoenix better than Denver? Somebody tell me, because Kendrick Perkins says the Suns are the best team in the NBA. I just don't recall, because I just watched the Denver Nuggets beat the Miami Heat in 5. Okay? And Miami gave them all they can handle. I watched them sweep the Lakers. Sweep LeBron James, Anthony Davis. And the Lakers gave them all they had. Outside of D'Angelo Russell. Phoenix. And 6. After Devin Booker went crazy in games 3 and 4 in Phoenix, he went back to Denver, got smacked up, and then Denver came back to Phoenix and smacked him again. And actually smacked him worst. And then that's the Minnesota Timberwolves, who didn't have a chance in hell to beat Denver. And everybody knew it. So what, somebody explain to me what Perk is trying to say here by saying the Phoenix Suns is the best team in basketball. And by the way, they're not better than the Boston Celtics. They're not better than the Milwaukee Bucks. They have no, both teams in the East have benches. And they have point guard play. And they play defense. Well, more of the Bucks than the Celtics. I don't know what happened with the Celtics. They played defense 1 year and it was spectacular. Then the following year, which is this past season, they forgot how to play defense. So. But nevertheless, name me teams that the Phoenix Suns are better than with the Bradley Beal trade. Okay? The Nuggets won the championship and they ain't going nowhere. they're going to have the pretty much the same damn team coming back. Unless Bruce Brown decides to go somewhere else, but I highly doubt it. The entire starting five is on a contract. So that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, Nikola Jokic, they all on the contract. Christian Brown, he was just a rookie. So he going into his second season. I forgot Michael Porter Jr., who actually stepped up in game six to help close the deal for the Denver Nuggets. Mike Malone still the head coach. There's something that got on my nerve because I'm listening to Perk and I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? What makes the Phoenix Suns better than the champions? What makes the Phoenix Suns better than the top two teams in the East? Tell me something. Okay? They may be better than Memphis because Memphis is on the immature side, as you just talked about earlier, about John Murray getting suspended. So we're going to see about Memphis. Lakers is questionable. We're going to see about the Lakers and who's going to be on the roster. But LeBron James, don't get me started on the goddamn Clippers. I'm going to wait my months before I even have to address the Clippers on that one. So I'm just going to wait. Okay? But tell if anybody agrees with Perk on why the Phoenix Suns the best team in the NBA, let me know, please. Facebook, Twitter, comment on here. Let me know. Because I don't see the Phoenix Suns being the best team in the NBA. That's Denver. As my good buddy Brian Snow says, to be the champs, you have to unseat the champs. And the champs that are sitting in that seat right now is in the Mile High City. Until otherwise, I don't want to hear nothing about Phoenix Suns being the best. I really don't. But nevertheless, the Phoenix Suns have a big three now. Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and now Bradley Beal. Wonderful offensive players. Each of them averaging over 20 points a game. So that's at least 60 right there for them three. What was the average points of the NBA this season? I'm curious. I'm doing live research here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm gonna do research on this one. So from this past season, so looking at this. Now I'm getting this information from Sports Kita. Says in the 2020 season, teams are scoring 114.2 points per game, which is the ninth highest in league history. So we're saying 14.2 points per game. Each of these three guys, and Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal, average at least 20 points a game. They average at least. So if I'm doing the math correctly, right, at least 60. So we're talking 114.2 minus 60. So the rest of the team, whoever Phoenix decides to put around them, we're going to see what they do with DeAndre Ayton. The rest of the team has to combine for at least 54 points. Do the Phoenix Suns have a team that can combine for 54 points outside of them three? Do they? I don't see it. I don't see it. Tell me who's on the Phoenix Suns team outside of those three. Who can help get the 54 points? Because that's what team was averaging this past season, 114. With these three combining for at least 60. They going to give you 60 at least. Anything less than that, you definitely in trouble if you're Phoenix. But they're going to give you at least 60. Can the rest of the team get you 54? That's the question. Because you have no defense. Who's going to play defense? DeAndre Ayton, they say DeAndre Ayton is the defender. He don't play defense. He don't block shots. Don't nobody go in the hole and is scared of DeAndre Ayton. So how is Matt Ishbron and apparently Isaiah Thomas, because apparently Isaiah Thomas was about to be taking a role inside of Phoenix Suns organization because he was part of the Chris Paul thing. From what Chris Paul was saying, Isaiah Thomas has something to do with the whole Chris Paul being traded to Washington and out of Phoenix. So what are y'all going to do with defense? How y'all going to fill out the rest of your team? Okay, because I can tell you this right now. This past playoff, that Phoenix Benz did not average nowhere close to 54 points. Nowhere close to it. So let me know. And speaking of Chris Paul, we shall see what happens with Chris Paul, you know. He could get traded. That's what the Wizards are trying to do. They're trying to get something back for Chris Paul. They don't want to lose him to Anthony Kennedy. But if not, they could buy him out and let him roll to, you know, one of the two schools in L.A., whatnot. Lakers are reuniting with the Clippers. Both teams can use a point guard anyway. And like I said, I'm going to wait my months before I even talk about the Clippers. But we shall see what the future holds for Chris Paul. But for right now, he's in the nation's capital with the Wizards as of right now. Until then, we're going to see what happens. But, hey, that's the round of hardwood session for you, NBA style. When we come back, we're going to dive into the WNBA like I'm supposed to be doing.
The Playmakers Blog is proud to announce that it is sponsored by Fanatics. Fanatics, where you can get all your official license, sports gear, memorabilia, whether it's for the National Football League, the National Basketball Association, Major League Baseball, National Hockey League, or even International Soccer League, or even college sports. So rep your team, rep the hardware, get comfortable, because Fanatics is the way to go, where sports fans shop and official license everything. The Playmakers Bar is proudly to announce that it landed a partnership deal with Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus. Stream live sports from any device that you have, whether it is your computer, laptop, or even your cellular device. Catch breaking news live when it happens and enjoy a mountain of entertainment from movies to shows to whatever you love doing. Paramount Plus. Plan starts at $4.99 a month, but right now, you can get a free trial. Just hit that link below with the Playmakers Blog and start your free trial right now. Paramount Plus, Mountains of Entertainment.
And welcome back to Turn the Lights Out, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Two of our sponsors, Fanatics.com. Get your fishing license, everything with Fanatics.com. Especially if you're a Nuggets fan and a Las Vegas Knights fan celebrating championships in Vegas and Denver. And Paramount Plus, get ready to watch all types of live sports, breaking news, any shows that you like from Nickelodeon, CBS to Comedy Central, all with Paramount Plus. So as y'all can see here, those who are watching on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, it's time to talk WNBA because we are in the second quarter of the WNBA season. And to begin us off, we're going to recap the weekend that was in the WNBA. Beginning with Friday. Friday night, we had two games, the Mercury and the Mystics and the Lynx and the Spartans. Beginning with the Phoenix Mercury and the nation's capital to take on the Washington Mystics. Without the service of Diana Taurasi and Brittany Griner, you can see how wide this game with the way it is, with the Washington Lynx winning by 1988-69 on the day. Elena Deladon, 17 points. Skies with 16. Atkins with 11, Mean with 14. That's a all-around effort. When we're going out with the Mercury had 20, Cunningham with 13. But, you know, when you shorthand like the Mercury are without Diana Taurasi and Brittany Griner, there's only so much you can do. As you can see, the Mercury shot 39% from the field, 32% from three. Just went in a particular game for the Phoenix Mercury. But those things that happened, thus the Mercury fall to 2-7 on the season, and the Mystics go to 6-4. The night careful Friday night, we saw the Minnesota Lynx in the bright light city of Los Angeles to take on the LA Sparks. Close contested game in the Minnesota Lynx 77-72 over the Sparks. Minnesota got their third win of the season Friday night. Natasha Kaya, 25 points with 6 rebounds. McBride added 16. They did just enough. They had some bench up as well. Mitchell came off the bench with 10. You got 7 from Benham and 3 from Allen. So your bench gave you 20 points off the bench. You got 25 from your star player, Natasha Carrier. 16 from McBride, one of your guards. That's all it takes. As for the Sparks, Hanby, 14 points. Canada, 22 points. Not a good game for Nurike. Nurike struggled without her sister. Her sister came off the bench dealing with a shoulder injury, if I'm correct. Janelle Agrumakade was dealing with a shoulder injury. So she missed a couple of games. She came back from coming off the bench. But Nurike struggled, only 8 points, 2-for-9 from the field. Tough loss for the LA Sparks that dropped them to 5-5 on the season. Look at the team statistic here, 51% shooting for the Lynx. The Sparks shot 43 at home. 3-point shooting was not good, 35% for the Sparks, 32 for the Lynx, but it didn't matter. Both teams shot 68% from the free throw line. Nevertheless, the Lynx got their third win of the season. You can't be mad at that. They got their third win of the season. That was Friday. Saturday, we had one game on the dock. The highest scoring game of the season thus far took place in Big D, Dallas, Texas, where the Dallas Wings hosted the Seattle Storm. And the Storm took it 109-93. The highest scoring game of the season. We're talking 212 points scored for the Storm. All starting five scored in double figures, led by none other than the leading scorer of the WNBA, Jrue Holiday, dropping 39 on the day. She wasn't going to be outdone because Enrique Agumawale, 41 in a losing effort. Sabla gave you 25. Howard gave you 24 and 10. But man, when the entire starting five hit double figures and the leader almost dropped 40, man, I don't know what to tell you. But a high scoring affair back and forth, you know. Seattle jumped out to a 4-point lead after one. Then they came back and added an 8-point lead at halftime. The Wings came out storming after halftime. They took a 1-point lead going into the fourth quarter, and then 35-28, Seattle. That's all it took to win by 6. 109-103. What a game. Jrue Holiday, she has made a strong case to be in the All-Star game. She has made a strong case to be part of the MVP conversation, to say the least, because the Storm has 3 wins on the year. They're not particularly out of it yet, even though we are one quarter of the way through the season. Guess they got 30 more games left from Saturday night. But she is doing all she can for the Seattle Storm, man. It is ridiculous. She is the leading scorer, and it's not even close. She is scoring at every Wild West way. Look at the stat, 12 for 21, and it's efficient, 39 at that. 12 for 21, 7 from 12 from 3. Oh, man. Agumawale, same thing with her 41 points, 13 for 24 from the field, 7 for 14 from 3. I mean, they put on the show. But, hey, Seattle Storm got it. Let's see what they do. And then Saturday. We go to Sunday. Sunday was a loaded slate Sunday. As you can see here, Mercury was at the Liberty. Dream was at the Fever. Sky was at the Mystic. Sun was at the Spartans. And Lynx were at the Champ Aces. And to begin off, my New York Liberty hosted the Phoenix Mercury without the service of Diana Taurasi and Brittany Garner for the Mercury. And for us, we did not have Sabrina Ionescu for our second game of this. And yes, you can see 89-71 with the win. Nevertheless, I did see the Liberty started to look bad. So 2 of our 3 losses this season were which we had double-digit leads and we lost them. It almost became a third one at home again because at one point we was up 20. I think the lead has got bigger. The lead was as big as 20, if I remember correctly. 22. And then the Mercury got it down to 8 in the fourth quarter before the Liberty finally put the finishing touches on this game. Does win it by 18. Sophia Cunningham, she put on the display in the second half. She finished with 27 points, 9 for 15 from the field, 5 for 10 from 3. she did not let her team just get beat up and mollywop. She helped them fight back into it to the closest is 8. And then Breonna Stewart, Stewie, 28-14, 7 assists. Jonquel Jones, she's slowly coming to form. Slowly coming to form. Her first double-double as a New York Liberty with 13 points, 11 boards. It's good to see her, but she's slowly coming aboard. You know, she's working her way from that surgery on her, I will say, her foot. But me giving her time, she's slowly coming. And it's also a good opportunity to see us without Sabrina Ionescu. Now we can see what we need to work on more and more. And Sabrina get to see what she needs to work on before she comes back. Because as of right now, and I'm going to show you the team stats here. We shot 48% from the field to the Mercury's 42. We shot 35%, close to 35% from three. Mercury shot close to 32% from three. Nevertheless, we had the biggest lead of 22. He got cut to 8 at one point. We never trailed. Nevertheless. But before I move on to the next game, we have some things to work on, okay? Well, we gonna figure it out because right now we are behind the Kinetic Suns and the Las Vegas Aces, okay? Of course, the Aces are dominating everybody, and we're gonna see in a bit when I get to them in that game against the Minnesota Lynx. And the Kinetic Suns, they are balling as well. We gotta be able to hold on to leads, which is good. We was able to hold on. They came back, but we was able to finish it off, which is good for us. But we gotta be able to hold on to leads here. And as the season continues to progress, we should get better and better and better to the point where we look like the superstar team that everybody is expecting us to look like when all these trades happen and Breonna Stewart comes over and Courtney Vance Luke comes over and all this other stuff. But we'll get there. We'll get there. Just a little scared right now because we are prone to blowing big leads now. And I don't like that for us. Now, a team that is on the horizon, a team that is just getting it together, the Atlanta Dream that was in Indiana to take on the Indiana Fever, Haley Jones versus Aaliyah Boston. But this is Alicia Gray's day. Okay. Alicia Gray went to having it. 25 points. Ryan Howard dropped in 21. Coffee dropped in 11. Cheyenne Parker dropped in 15. Haley Jones on the gave you 8, but it didn't matter because the Atlanta Dream, 100-94, win in Indiana. They third consecutive road win. Now they are sitting at 5-5 on the season. And then the Indiana Fever dropped to 4-7 on the season. Aaliyah Boston, 25 points, 6 boards. She's doing her thing. She's finding her way. Mitchell also added 24. You got 12 from Smith. But the Atlanta Dream, man, they are starting to put it together. Ever since they inserted Haley Jones in that starting lineup, they have been winning. They have been winning, and it's good to see. The team down in the ATL doing some good things, so we still keep it up. They at 500 right now at 5-5 on the season. They're looking pretty good right now. Look at the team statistics here. 56% shooting from the Dream. 47% from three. 79% from free throw. I mean, everything just looks better than the Fever set for the free throw because the Fever shot close to 83% from the line. Fever shots 45% from the field and 21% from three. And then you're the home team at that. The Dream never trailed. They had the biggest lead of 18 and only won by 6. But the Atlanta Dream are putting it together now. Do not sleep on the Atlanta Dream. They are coming. From the Indiana back to the capital of D.C. because Washington Mystics hosted the Chicago Style. And with an 8-point win, 77-69, the Washington Mystics moved their record to 7-4 on the season. The Chicago Sky dropped to 5-7 on the season. Atlanta Deladon, 20 points, 6 boards. Sky gave you 16. You got 12 from Austin. And it was just a terrible day for the Sky. I mean, Kaylee Cooper, 8 points. Williams, 2 points. E. Williams, 9 points. Smith, 8 points. I mean, Marbury's the leading scorer. Marbury gave you 11. Your leading scorer came off the bench. And that's Morgan Brisley. She gave you 16 off the bench. That's your leading score if you're the Chicago Sky. Excuse me. If your leading score is off the bench, it better be some astronomical numbers for them to be the leading scorer for your team over your starters. And then when it's the leading score of your team is only 16 points, that's a problem. That's where the Chicago Sky took a nail. A big one on that one, because your leading scorer can't be 16 points and is off your bench. That just can't happen. Okay? Team statistics. I mean, they shot 44% from the field, 30% from three, and 64% from the free throw line, which is abysmal. I mean, but the Mercury shot 39% from the field, 33% from three, 84% from the free throw line. It was the free throw line that got y'all beat. Okay? 22-9 and made free throws. That is 13 points right there. The Blazers lead was 17. Mystics won by 8. I mean, good grace. Then that brings us to the City of Angels again from the nation's capital, because the LA Sparks trying to bounce back, but they're going against the Kinetic Suns, and the Kinetic Suns with an 83-74 win over the LA Sparks, moving their record to 9-3 on the season. This team here, I mean, DeJuana Bonner, 20 points. Alicia Thomas, 16 points. You got Brianna Jones with 17 points. That trio right there is a problem. Bonner, Thomas, and Jones, that trio is a problem. Look at this. That is 50. That's 53 points between them three. And they scored 83. Where's the team on that had to get them 30? Now, Nage Agumake, she had a better game than last game. 19 points, field team boys, 5 assists. Only shot 7 for 20 from the field. That's a lot of shots. Stevens 12, Canada 14. It's just the Sparks are struggling a bit, 5-6 on the season. Like I said, the Kinetic Suns are 9-3 on the season. All right. Good Lord. The trio of Bonner, Thomas, and Jones is problematic for the WNBA right now. We knew what we expected, what the Aces were going to look like. We waiting to see how my New York Liberty finally gets it all together. And then the Kinetic Suns is out here bashing people too. Cause they got and all they stars are the big girls inside. Look at it. DeJuana Bonner, she's a forward. Alicia Thomas, a forward. Brianna Jones, a forward. These three are lethal, man. They are lethal. Man, my New York Liberty better watch out, because we won the first one. But when we meet them again, it might not be the same story, because them three ladies there is a handful. Okay? They are a handful. Go to the team statistics here. 53% shooting for the Suns to 41% for the Sparks. 3-point shooting, 40% for the Suns, 21% for the Sparks. Oh, my gosh. Ugh. 4 for 19 for 3. Ugh. Boy, that's rough. That is rough. But, hey, the Sparks, they had an 8-point lead at one point, but the Suns wasn't having it. They just wasn't having it. And then, finally, we get to the most dominating team in the WNBA, and that is the reigning, defending, and WNBA champions, the Las Vegas Aces. As yet again, they won their fourth game this season by at least 25 points. They are 11-1 on the season. 93-62 of the Minnesota Lynx. It's bad. It's bad when you can win by 32 and the reigning league MVP, reigning finals MVP, and A'ja Wilson only scores 8 points but grabs 14 boards. The reigning league MVP and WNBA finals MVP only scored 8 points and this team won by 31. Jackie Young, 24 points. Kelsey Plum, 21 points. Chelsea Gray, 17 points. Candace Parker, 11. It don't matter. Any of the five can go off. Any of the five can go off at any given moment. Jackie Young has put together back-to-back 24-point games. Well, she had like, I think she had like 28 in her last game. She come back and dropped 24. Kelsey Plum just goes for 20 whenever she feels like it. Chelsea Gray can go for 20 and then have like 10 dimes whenever she wants to. Candace Parker and Adrian Wilson are walking double-doubles whenever they feel like it. And we still ain't seen much from the bench yet. We had that one game from Kristen Bell before this game when she went off and dropped 11. Alicia Clark still hasn't been a factor yet. Stokes hasn't been a factor yet. This is what makes it scary with this darn team. And Becky Hammon is just... Becky Hammon is literally letting her girls have fun right now. Literally. Look at the minutes. 24 minutes, 25 minutes, 26 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes. Like, what? I mean, Natasha Carter, I mean, you ran into a buzzsaw, which is the defending champs. You scored 18, gave you 7 boys, but y'all ran into a buzzsaw that's just the defending champs, and this is what the defending champs have been doing to people. They've been smacking people around. And I think sometime next week, we get our first opportunity against the Las Vegas Aces. And I'm looking forward to it. And I'm also not looking forward to it. Because I don't want Sabrina Priest be back before we play the Las Vegas Aces. Because I need to see this, how we match up with the Las Vegas Aces. Because, Lord have mercy. Matter of fact, I need to find out when is that game. When do we play the Las Vegas Aces? And where is that game being played at? Because they smacking everybody. We played them on the 29th. And it's in Las Vegas. That's the first matchup with the defending champions is in Vegas when my Liberty go there on the 29th. The 29th, that will be a Wednesday. No, that will be a Thursday. That will be a Thursday. And then the next time we make them will not be until when? Well, it might not be until August. Yep, August 6th. That will be in New York. So we pretty much have about 9 days before we say our first meeting with the defending champion because they is rolling everybody 10-1 on the season. They shot 47% from the field, 33% from three, 86% from the free throw line. For the Lynx, 33% from the field. The Minnesota Lynx shot the same percentage as the Aces shot in 3 points. This is... So the Aces shot 33%, which is the same percentage that the Lynx shot in the entire game. The Lynx shot 16% from the three-point range. The beating that they put on these girls is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. All right. The Aces is unstoppable. All right, here's just the current standings of the WNBA right now. As always, I just mentioned 10-1 is the reigning defending champs. Right behind them is the Connecticut Suns at 9-3. We are in third. If you're a Liberty fan, we're sitting in that third at 7-3. The Washington Mystics, 7-4. The surprising Atlanta Dream is up there, 5-5 on the year to round out the top five. And as you see on the other side, the East and the West is breakdown as the Suns lead the East. Of course, the Aces lead the West. There's no competition in that. Okay. Commissioner's Cup standings. Right now, you see the Aces at 5-0 over in the West. The Connecticut Sun are 4-2 in the East. We're tied with the Atlanta Dream at 4-3 with the New York Liberty and the Atlanta Dream tied at 4-3. And so second place. And second place in the West is the Dallas Wings at 3-2. And I don't see them catching the Aces whatsoever. So, be this cool. leave that right there. All right. And before we get out of here and call it a day, games tonight, ladies and gentlemen, beginning at 8 p.m. on NBA TV, the Dallas Wings are hosting the Atlanta Dream. Can the Atlanta Dream make it 4 straight road wins? They beat the Liberty. They beat the Suns. They beat the Fever. Now can they beat the Wings down in Big D? Then at 10 p.m. on CBS Sports Network, the Minnesota Lynx and the LA Sparks. Also at 10 on NBA TV, after the Wings and the Dream get together, it's the Suns and the Storm today. And that is tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Tomorrow, Wednesday, you have one game on the docket. It is the Las Vegas Aces in the desert to take on the Phoenix Mercury. Will Brittany Grant and Diana Taurasi be back for that game? If so, can they make a difference and try to hand the Aces their second loss of the season? We shall see. 3:30. NBA TV. And then Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, we have a triple header. Beginning with a double header on Prime Video at 8 p.m., the Washington Mystics are in the Windy City to take on the Chicago Sky. Also at 8 p.m. on CBS Sports Network, the Suns visit Minnesota as the Suns and Leafs get together. And following the Washington Mystics and Chicago Sky game at 10 p.m. on Amazon Prime Video, the Indiana Fever, they are on the road to take on the Seattle Storm. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Shooting Lights Out today. We talked about some NBA stuff with the Bradley Beal trade and John Morant suspension. Also, Michael Jordan selling the majority ownership of the Charlotte Hornets. And then we just dove into the WNBA as the Aces are rolling everybody. My new league, we got some things to work out, but we'll get there. The Connecticut Suns is hanging in tough, and the Atlanta Dream are starting to win games and make some headway. So with that being said, from right here, on the Playmaker, you can listen to this on every streaming platform that is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and a whole lot more. From right here in Jackson before the Playmaker sign out saying, I will catch y'all later.
Good. You've done great. But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations. You gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your campaign.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick it again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go. Let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Out.
Masterpiece.